Today on the 10-12 podcast, Justin McLeod of D1 Softball joins myself and Leah to preview the start of conference play for Big 12 softball, teams that have disappointed through non-con, teams that have surprised, power rankings, picks for this weekend's games, plus Baylor softball head coach Glenn Moore joins us to talk about his team, the difficulty with non-conference scheduling, and the one thing he's asking Iowa State softball players to bring when they come to Waco later this season.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona State, Arizona, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. And we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us for our midweek episode. On Thursdays, we talk softball. I'm going to turn that into the whole like Mean Girls thing of what is it? Like Wednesdays we wear pink. It's like on Thursdays we watch softball. That's just, I'm going to meme that at some point. I mean, look, I memed Gabby Gregory as mother of Gap Goats. It took me a couple weeks, but I got it done. I'll do this one as well. Just, you know, graphic design is my fourth secret passion. Joining me as she does every week to talk Big 12 softball, she is former Iowa State. I'm just going to say it. Hold your earmuffs, kids. Shit talker, Leah Nelson.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's a great way to put it. I'm not mad about that at all. And and I'm just pumped to talk softball on Thursdays once again.
But before we started recording, I got called a NARP and learned what a NARP is and a geek. So, I mean, I feel like she's, you know, when the mics, the camera's not on, you know, because podcasting is a visual medium. Leah's kind of mean. Eric could not be with us this week. So filling in. From D1 Softball, a site that we have been subscribed to for a while now and always enjoy checking out. He is Justin McLeod. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it. This has been fun already. Off air, we're what, a minute in on air now. So this is going to be really fun, I feel like.
We're going to have a good time. Now, we've had a pretty standard formula through the first 4 weeks of the season, but non-conference is over. Yes, we have midweek games, of course. The conference play officially begins tonight. This episode drops on Thursday. Texas Tech, BYU will kick things off today earlier than originally planned. So we've got to look back at the non-conference slate and preview the Big 12 slate a bit. We're actually going to start, though. The first RPI of the season for softball came out on Monday. I actually thought it was supposed to be next week after everyone or most conferences had some conference games. Alas, it has begun. We're just going to kind of run through where we are in RPI at time of recording. Obviously, there's a lot of midweek games going on Wednesday, so these won't be exact. But from the Big 12 standpoint, Big 12 currently the third best conference in RPI, or third ranked conference in RPI. At the moment, Texas is 4, Oklahoma 6, Oklahoma State at 11, Baylor at 23, Kansas at 34, Texas Tech 37, Houston 46, UCF 59, BYU 71, Iowa State 158, which is better than it was Monday when it was 162, I believe. 163, maybe.
Oh, damn.
Justin, as our guest this week, I'm going to let you start off just with, I'll say this, we're going to dive into RPI a bit more next week when Eric is here, because I like to have the conversation so everybody understands what quad system is, where you need to be in the RPI, why the quad system and the way it works, I'm not a big fan of, but we'll deal with all that later because we don't have time for all that. We don't want to keep Justin here all night. And we have an interview with Baylor head coach Glenn Moore that Leah actually did with her second favorite Big 12 softball head coach. So we've got that coming up here in a little bit. So Justin, just some initial thoughts on where the Big 12 stands in the initial RPI.
I actually think Big 12 initial RPI, I think they're in great standing. I mean, you listed those RPIs just now, and you know what I heard was a lot of single and double digit numbers. There's a lot of top 100 teams in the Big 12, and even in the Power 5, that's not necessarily a super common thing. So I think the Big 12 really is in really good position. Factors in too when you go into conference play, because say an Oklahoma or a Texas, heaven forbid, drops a game in a conference series or something like that. When it's the top 100 team, that loss doesn't hurt you. When you're talking about a team like maybe a Houston, if they continue in conference play what they did in non-conference, you're talking about wins that mean a lot and losses that don't hurt you as badly, which helps your tournament resume. I think the Big 12 is in great standing, to be honest with you, in this initial RPI and where they all fell. I mean, I was a little surprised, but I was more impressed than anything. Like, I think the Big 12 is in a really, really good spot earlier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, looking at it, out of your 10 teams, 7 are top 50 in the RPI. Those are classified as a quad one or a quad two win or loss when you play those teams. So that's 7 of your 10 teams are top 50 in the RPI. The Big 10 has one top 50 team, Penn State, who Baylor beat. And Texas is beaten. Everyone else, Ohio State's next at 51. Everyone else is lower than that. The ACC's got, I think, 5 teams that are sub 50. The SEC, everybody's good. To use the comment that's often made at Big 12 basketball, they're obviously gaming the system and rigging it and cheating. I'm just going to get away from that one. But I think your point overall is good. Like, the Big 12 is in a really good spot. And we had a lot of questions entering the season about how Houston would look and how BYU would look in their first year. And to see that Houston's top 50, UCF is just 9 spots out of the top 50, Texas Tech and Kansas are there in the 30s. Like, I do agree that the Big 12, even at number 3, because the SEC has so many teams as highly rated as they do, like, even with, I think the Big 12 is in a good spot. Leah?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Speaking from experience, it's always fun to be playing a Big 12 softball because if your RPI is decent going into conference, like, it's going to stay pretty great just because you're playing these teams that are always in the top 50 for RPI. So like both of you said, they're in a good spot. I mean, I wish Iowa State was a little higher, but again, them playing conference, it'll boost their numbers. So I'm not too worried about it.
I mean, yes, it would be nice if they weren't as low as they were for the sake of the conference. And look, yeah. I mean, Leah, you know all about RPI because I'm not sure every coach obsesses about RPI because it does matter.
Right.
Your former head coach Pinkerton might have been the most obsessed when it comes to RPI of coaches in the Big 12.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was telling you earlier, like, if I had a nickel for every time he mentioned RPI, I'd be a bajillionaire. And I didn't really realize until I kind of took a dive into even RPI, and it does help so much when you're trying to make that regional run at the end of the season. And so it makes sense when coaches are trying to schedule for the upcoming season, they want to schedule those teams that are going to have high RPIs, those really great teams that are ranked, just because, again, like, it's going to help you. You want a high RPI. Coaches obsess over it. But I mean, not to give too much into the interview with Coach Moore later on, it can be frustrating sometimes. You could think you're going to have a higher RPI than you do. It's just kind of confusing, kind of goes in with all the quad wins. So it'll be great to really dive into it next week with Eric.
We do have a resume sheet that I put together and try and update at least, or I try and update it twice a week. I get it every Monday, and I break down everyone's resume in the Big 12, and that is all the wins and losses by quad system. So you understand, quad one is based off of RPI. Quad one is 1 through 25, quad two is 26 through 50, quad three is 51 through 100, and everyone sub 100, which is 205 teams is considered quad four. I'm going to leave my complaint about that for later. I understand, but anywho, I will have that link in the show notes. I usually have that on Twitter, so if anybody's looking for it, or if you don't see it, reach us out on Twitter at 1012 Network, at 1012 Pod on Threads and Instagram, or 1012podcast@gmail.com. You can email me, and I'm happy to send you the link so you can check it out if you want to see it. So we'll dive in more into RPI next week. As I said, non-conference is over. We've got our current standings. Oklahoma's taken a loss. It is an incredible thing. Not there. I didn't say they were going to lose in the opening of the new stadium to Louisiana.
You said they were going to lose a couple times.
12 games.
Oh, I thought you said a non-conference game.
No. I would love to pretend like nobody remembers what I said, but I'll keep myself true. But looking at the teams in the Big 12 so far, as we get Big 12 play kicked off, who is the team so far that has impressed you the most, Leah?
It goes back and forth. Obviously, like I'm really impressed by Texas. Typical answer. I don't know. I think they're just playing such solid ball. They're a blast to watch. But I kind of going back to what I said, I think our very first episode, I'm honestly most impressed with OSU. I kind of thought they were going to struggle a little more than they have been, especially with, you know, some transfers or, you know, the big one we don't have to name. But I don't know. I just think they're playing solid. I personally thought, like I said, they were going to struggle. They weren't going to have as many wins. They weren't going to have as good of a record as they do now. So I'm kind of looking forward to see what they do at the start of Big 12 play.
Yeah, they've got a big one this weekend we'll talk about against Baylor. Justin, same question to you. Which team has impressed you the most?
I think it is honestly the stereotypical answer, but I to me it's Texas. And I think the biggest reasons why I have two. One, I think it can be really hard to play under expectations and still meet those expectations. I think that's the thing you see most teams with that level of talent crumble under is the expectation that you're going to be good. But the other piece for me is Texas. I know I catch myself occasionally forgetting just how young that Longhorn team is. They're so young, but they're so good. Pressure moments, big teams. Yeah, they respond so well in really any situation, and yet they're still so young. Like, you don't see that every day. You don't see that with every team. So I think because of those two components, I think Texas has impressed me. Like, we knew they were going to be good coming into the season. Like, I feel like they were a popular pick. But to meet those expectations, to be so consistent in non-con play, and for those young players to be so poised at every turn, I think that's probably impressed me the most on the team that's impressed me the most.
Yeah, look, it's hard to argue against Texas. They've, I believe they lead the country with 8 quad one wins right now. Like, they're, and it's not like against bad, they've had weird games against bad teams. Like, they're beating teams soundly. They're playing very, very well. Might they see a hiccup somewhere? Sure. But, like, again, they're a young team. They've been very impressive. I'm going to say, because obviously Oklahoma State, based off of expectations or really just questions about OSU, I think that's a fair one. Leah, Texas makes a lot of sense. I'm going to take Texas Tech because this is a season, year two for Craig Snyder. They had an exciting team last year, a lot of offense, bad non-conference schedule. RPI didn't help them. They finished in the 60s and they were okay. And he has improved their non-conference strength of schedule this year. And they have done really well. They're sitting at 37th in the RPI. Like, they've got a couple of weird losses, but at 17-4, they played Florida State incredibly well. They've got a couple of good wins. The question for the Big 12 was how many teams can they get in the postseason? You look at this team right now and say, I think Texas Tech is a postseason team. And I think they're going to have enough opportunities in the Big 12 to get there. I have been impressed by Texas Tech because I just wasn't sure. They weren't sure, based off, especially from pitching standpoint, some of the stuff they lost from last season, how they would look. They have been very good. Texas, obviously, yes. Oklahoma State, absolutely. I'm adding Texas Tech here.
I love you adding it. I was so looking forward to Texas Tech's season this year just because I feel like last year they were always so close. They were right on the edge. You know, they were beat these teams. I want them to make a regional run so badly. So I'm really rooting for them this season.
I mean, I'm ready for the Big 12, so the more teams we get in the postseason, the better.
What did I say? 9 or 8?
You said nine.
Okay. That was a little, I was being a little bold that day.
You said nine. We'll see. And I have been all over the like, this is the year for Kansas. And right now, from an RPI standpoint, they're the fifth best RPI in the Big 12. Come on, Coach McFalls and the Jayhawks. Okay. Now we have to be a little bit negative. Don't want to, but that's just how this game works. Which team has disappointed you the most through the non-conference, Justin?
So, not to take advantage of Mr. Lopez's absence today, but honestly, it's been UCF. That loss to UConn in opening weekend hurts. But I think the thing for UCF to me, going to the Big 12, you always expect to have a little bit of growing pains, just changing conferences in general, moving up in general. But when I've watched them play, you know, some of the wins they had to really gut out against teams they probably should have beaten a little more handily. And they don't have that signature win that I think we're pretty used to Cindy Ball Malone and the Knights getting. They don't have that team that nobody really expects them to beat. They just overpowered. Their games against, you know, all, most of their major opponents have been losses now. And you know, it's still a solid showing. Don't get me wrong. It's not the sky is falling. It's not jump off a ledge or anything like that. But I just don't think it's the UCF team either that we're used to seeing, or the UCF team that I think for at least for me, I expected to see coming into the year. I didn't expect them to be world beaters, but I expected them to be more contenders than they have been so far.
I'll piggyback because that was my pick as well. And it almost feels like last year, you know, they came off that 16 national seed host 2 years ago and had the incredible season and were getting these finding ways to get one run wins over these ranked opponents and really good teams. And then last year they just couldn't get over the hump over those opponents. They couldn't beat those teams. They'd be in those games. And it's been the same thing this year. One run loss here, one run loss there. 2-1 run, a loss there. And so, like, they've got two quad three wins, and everything else is quad four. Like, close games against South Carolina and North Carolina, or, and it's just, they've had those opportunities again. And so, it reminds me a little bit of last year of they're so close in these games, and they can't quite get over the hump. And I fully expected North Carolina's not that good. Oregon is down this year. The UConn loss obviously stinks. And so I think that's what's more disappointing is there's teams that you looked at and said, I'm going to understand if you don't beat Missouri, you know, based off what we see them. You're not going to, you don't beat Tennessee, you know, maybe you don't beat South Carolina. But the losses to UConn, the losses to North Carolina, Oregon, even the teams that you're like, I feel like you should be on par with them, not being able to get over the hump there has been really disappointing and really concerns me once they enter Big 12 play where. With Baylor at Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma and Texas, the way they're playing, and even the way Kansas and Texas Tech are playing, like it might be a tougher than we thought first season in the Big 12 for UCF.
I'd have to agree. Can I go?
Yeah, please.
Because yes, UCF, but I'll change it up. I have to go. It just pains me to say. I have to say Iowa State.
Coach, I know you're listening. Earmuffs, real quick.
He is just Coach Pink. I'm so proud of you and the girls. But it is like I had these like, and again, there's still so much season left, and I think they always compete so well at Big 12, but. I don't know. Coach Pink kind of scheduled differently this year. I was hoping they were going to go into Big 12 with a way better record, a winning record. And so it's just really frustrating being on this side to see that a lot of the games are so close, can't come up with a win, or they're ahead by a few runs and then they somehow lose in the last couple of innings. So it's just frustrating. I'm hoping it kind of switches up. I personally think they play better against. You know, stronger teams. So I think Big 12 will be a really, really good competition for them. So, but yeah, Iowa State.
Yeah, it's been tough, and
Yeah.
I hate that because
I,
again,
yeah.
like every time I've had the opportunity to talk with Coach Pinkerton, he's fantastic. That team is fun. I know. Look, it's because of you we got the Cyclone ears. Like even West Virginia
Ooh.
fans are like, we don't have Like, what? We're supposed to have softball to cheer for. Basketball's let us down. Ohio State softball's not doing us any favors. Like, it's tough. It really is. So, let's dump the negative for a second. Mm-hmm. We're gonna power rank heading into. Now we did power rankings heading into the or preseason rankings. We did a media poll here for the 10-12, which was a ton of fun. But we're gonna start power ranking throughout the week. We'll take the three individuals who are on the show, myself and whoever's with us, as that will vary some throughout the season. And we will average that out each week to get our 10-12 softball power rankings. I tell you what, I will go first here. It feels only appropriate that I put myself out there to begin things off. Look, I'm going to get hate for this, but you have to understand this is about this season. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't have anything to do with what's happened the last year or the last 2 years. The last 3 years, based off of the resume in front of us at this moment, it's just bulletin board material. I have to put Texas at number one. I have to. You have 8 quad one wins. And I understand that from an RPI standpoint, Oklahoma and Texas are close. They both have one loss. Texas' loss is to number 3 Stanford. Oklahoma's loss is to number 13 in the RPI Louisiana, but they had a losing record. And so, RPI can be weird. Oklahoma has fewer quad 4 games. We can nitpick because it's not that far apart from our RPI standpoint. But when you have 8 quad 1 wins, it's hard not to put you at number one. Can I call it 1A?
No.
1-2. Okay, it's 2. It's obviously Oklahoma. I would like to just say like 1A and 1A-2. Like, I don't even want to call it 1A, 1B, because I don't think there's that much that separates these two programs right now. But I do think Texas has the resume to deserve to be number one. Oklahoma at number 2. That one's pretty easy. Oklahoma State's at number 3. Like, they've played so well. I say that as they're currently on a tie game in the 8th inning against Wichita State. That has gone extra innings. So we'll see how that goes and see if they can get it. Ooh, they've got no outs and a runner on third. But I mean, look, I think Oklahoma State, Lexi Kilfoyle has been fantastic. Some of the wins don't look as good. Washington's a Q2 now. But I mean, Florida, wins over Florida, Washington, UCLA, South Florida, like your two losses are, you had leads against LSU and Georgia, who are number 1 and 2 in the RPI, and you couldn't quite close that out. Oklahoma State's been has exceeded expectations this season so far, so I'll have them at 3. Baylor's number 4. Baylor, like, I understand, and you'll hear more about it from Coach Glenn Moore about the scheduling issues they had, which is why they had such a weird schedule. But outside of losing the first 2 games against Tennessee because the schedule got weird because of weather, they lost again to Louisiana. They have been on a tear. They have been fantastic. Going a perfect 5-0 at Mary Nutter, getting the win over Penn State this week. Baylor has been fantastic. I feel like there's Texas and Oklahoma in a tier of their own. Oklahoma State and Baylor are on a tier together. And then we get down to next. And I'm gonna go with Kansas right now. And I know that like the difference in RPI between them and Texas Tech isn't that big. But I have been really impressed by Kansas. And they have delivered. Their win over Texas A&M was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, they've got a quad 4 loss against UC Riverside. They've got some close losses like Oregon, Indiana, you wish they could have gotten. But I've been really impressed by Kansas so far this season, which brings you next to Texas Tech, who has also impressed me. I think right now, if the NCAA tournament was being picked today, all 6 teams I have named would be postseason participants. I understand the way RPI is like. I think they're all postseason caliber teams who deserve to have their name called. After that, I'm going to go with BYU. I have a hard time with BYU and Houston. I kind of want to group them together a little bit. But BYU, I think, has done a pretty good job. I think their offense has been a ton of fun to watch. I have been fairly impressed with them. They dipped a bit the last 2 seasons, and I feel like they've kind of picked it up this year in the non-conference, and I'm very excited about what they'll look like. I'm actually going to go with UCF here. I said BYU and Houston are close. UCF here, I think they can get over the hump here. I think there's still too much talent on that roster, but they've got to get some things figured out. I'll go with Houston at number 9. I think they've done a good job against the schedule they have. It hasn't been a difficult schedule, but they've played fairly well in it. And then wrapping it up, Iowa State at 10. Not no too surprise. They've just that's where it's got to go. I'm sorry, Coach Bank. Please don't be mad at me. Please keep on the show. Justin, you're up, sir.
You are going to thank me a copycat, sir. I will own that at the beginning. I share your thoughts on Texas. They are my number one at this point. Their strength of schedule and the fact that they've won all but one of those games is impressive to me. Oklahoma has several wins of their own that are impressive, but Texas's overall package, like you say, it's this year. This is a new season. This is not last season. To me, Texas has been the best team in the country for, and not just this weekend. Like, to me, they've been the best team in the country since the start of the year in terms of how they've played. OU is my number two. Just in general, they do have some of those solid wins. They've maybe not been the most dominating team of OU's last 4 year stretch, but they've still been really solid. OSU and Baylor are a tighter 3-4 for me, but I also have Oklahoma State at three. I think, to me, something Leah said earlier coming into the season, I don't know what my expectations were for Oklahoma State, but they look very much like the World Series teams we've seen the last 4 years. Like, they don't look like they've missed a beat. Baylor, similarly, you know, now that you've got a mostly healthy team, look at what they're able to do. Glenn Moore hasn't had a really healthy team for a few years, it seems like, but now that they're healthy, you look at them. Kansas was one that I was high on. They're my number five right now. They were one I was high on coming into the year. I felt like I was going to be disappointed after the first couple of weeks. You mentioned that Riverside loss, their quad four loss right now. I'm like, I don't know that Kansas is going to deliver on expectations, but they've kind of figured it out. They've evened it out a little bit. They gritted their way through some ball games. I actually saw them last week playing Austin Peay and Clarksville's 5-2. Austin Peay left several runners on base, but the thing that got me about Kansas was they gutted and gritted out that win. So I think if they're riding the ship, I think they're riding it in the correct direction. I've got them at five. I have Texas Tech at six. Similar to your thoughts on them as a growing team, maybe. I like the fact that they've done what they've done with what they've done. That's a lot of times saying done, I just realized. Texas Tech, for me, I had lower expectations. I don't mind saying it coming into the year. I didn't really know what to make of. And you look at them, they do look like a tournament team. They look like a tournament contender right now. BYU, again, I told you I was going to be a copycat. I think their offense has looked so good. I think they're better than their record and certainly than their RPI shows. You think about Violet Zavodnik finally being healthy after a not so healthy 23. That's huge for them, and she's done really well for them. I think they're better than their record and their standing shows. I went back and forth on 8 and 9 just because Houston's win-loss record looks so good on paper. But when you start looking at the teams they've played and the teams they've beaten, the teams they've beaten is not exactly a who's who of high RPI teams. Like, the Houston's scheduled appropriately to have this kind of win-loss record in non-conference play. Props for scheduling and knowing where your team is to know what wins you could guarantee yourself. To me, though, it's not an impressive thing. I have UCF at 8. They have disappointed me at times. I don't think they've played to their capabilities. I don't think they've played to their talent level throughout the season. And even probably their two best wins, Liberty and Wisconsin, I was at the Liberty game. Liberty gave them a ride late in the Wisconsin game that we all saw, the Madness and Clearwater. And those are their two best wins right now. So I have UCF at 8, Houston at 9, and with apologies to Miss Nelson's alma mater, Iowa State at 10.
It's all right, because I have them at 10 too.
Well, do you want to go backwards then, since you've started?
No, I just had to give a fair warning. No, I'm mine's a little different, but pretty similar. I also have Texas at 1. I love it, guys. I have been I'm not trying to cheer against Oklahoma, but like, I'm ready for it. No, maybe a little. No, I just like when it, for the past couple of years, it just seems like Oklahoma and then everyone else. And I'm just excited for, you know, Texas is just playing such good softball. I love it. Texas 1, Oklahoma 2. You, again, like both of you said, OSU and Baylor are kind of, you know, neck and neck, but I have to go with OSU. They're just playing good ball. I think I'm just pleasantly surprised with how they're playing. It excites me. Baylor 4, always solid. I had Texas Tech next. I don't know. I just, I just think they have been playing really well. I don't know. I'm always rooting for them. I don't know what it is about Texas Tech. I just want them to do so well. And so maybe me putting them higher, it's like putting some stuff out into the air, like they're gonna do well. So we'll see. But yeah, we have Texas Tech at 5, Kansas at 6. I have BYU at 7, and I have to agree with both of you as well. Their offense is insane. I just keep thinking back when we played them, 3-game series, in Utah, and I've never seen so many home runs hit, and not just like home runs, but like nukes. These girls are insane. So I'm excited to see how they do in Big 12 conference. And then I had UCF at 8, Houston at 9. I have to agree with Justin. Houston looks great on paper, but when you really dive into who they're playing, their scores, it makes sense to put them at 9. And then, of course, Iowa State at 10. Sorry, Coach Pink.
I will note Houston got a nice quad two win over McNeese tonight on the
Oh,
road in Lake Charles. So that is that's
that's
a good one
good.
for Houston. Oklahoma State just had a nice walk off against Wichita State. So it's a nice 4-3 win in 8 innings. So congrats there. I will note I have my favorites on D1 softball set to include future conference members. So like Utah getting a 4-3 win over San Diego State. Of course, Baylor knocked off Penn State. Texas with the 8-1 win over UT Arlington. Oklahoma with the 9-0 win over Texas A&M Commerce, which honestly, after the loss, I assumed Oklahoma would beat them worse. UCF with the 4-2 win over Stetson. Arizona dropping a 3-5 game on the road at Louisville. A little bit disappointing, but all in all, for current Big 12 members, nice, solid, undefeated midweek Wednesday before we start off with conference play. Before we get to our picks for this week, I do want to remind you about our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company, a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City. Kansas City, of course, the home of the Big 12 Women's and Men's Basketball Championship. Women's getting underway on today. Very excited because they're going to have a pop-up shop there in the Power and Light District. You're going to want to go and check out the whole time that the tournaments are going on. That's number one. Number two, they've got the Big 12 Days of Hustle. They're going to have daily deals dropping throughout the tournament. They've got a bunch of stuff on sale right now across the site. Some of it Big 12, some of it Kansas City related. So you're going to want to go to charliehustle.com and check that out. Oh, by the way, they just dropped new basketball gear for every Big 12 school. And okay, the For the City Houston shirt is absolutely fantastic. The Rise and Shout shirt for BYU. The BYU basketball hoodie. I've seen, I don't know how many BYU fans go, oh my God, that's incredible. I must go buy one. And now my checkbook is very upset with me. The Texas Tech shirt is great. They got a Fear the Fronds for UCF. You need to go check out the full line of new basketball stuff that they just dropped for Big 12 schools. And Cincinnati fans, it's time. It's time. Friday is the day. You just want to make sure on Friday you go to charliehustle.com because it's time for Cincinnati to finally be on the site. Gear for you just in time for the Big 12 tournament. So go to charliehustle.com. Check out everything they have. More than 30 schools available. But all that matters is now they're going to have every current Big 12 school plus Colorado. And you can save 15% off all non-sale items with the promo code 101215, TEN1215. That's TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. I would repeat all that, but there's so much. So just go to charliehustle.com, check out the Power and Light District. They're going to have details on their social media accounts, and we'll share it as well about the exact address and times and everything there. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. Five conference series underway this weekend. We're not going to pick all of them. I thought we would. We're going to go along here, and we've got a great interview with Coach Glenn Moore. We've got to get to. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick three series out of five this weekend. We're going to start with the one that starts today, Thursday. BYU hosting Texas Tech in Provo. Justin, who wins this, and what's the record?
I'm going to go Texas Tech wins the series. Wins two out of three. I think Texas Tech's offense will thrive in Provo.
Same exact answer. Texas Tech are home run hitters, and I don't know. It's something in the air in Utah. So there's going to be a lot of home runs.
I'm gonna. I just sat here and praised Texas Tech, and I'm very excited about them. I think first trip to Provo might be a little bit tough. Game starts on a Thursday. The first one got moved up earlier in the day. And BYU's offense is playing really well, too. So this, we might have a lot of like 8-7, 9-8. We might have a lot of offense this weekend in this series. I'm going to take BYU 2-1. I feel like this is a 2-1 kind of series. I don't think anybody's sweeping anyone here. And it wouldn't shock me if BYU at home in their first Big 12 series, Texas Tech having to go on the road here. It's a different place. You haven't played in there to play. And BYU, it's free for students. So that's why they have that ballpark always packed out. I think BYU fans will be there. I do. I'm going to take BYU 2-1. All right. Next one up. Let's go with, I'm not going to do OU Iowa State. That one's too easy. I'm not doing Texas Houston.
Nope.
We've got to do Kansas on the road at UCF. Houston, of course, also hosting. So the three newcomers all hosting to open Big 12 play. That's fantastic. UCF welcoming Kansas out to Orlando. I'm intrigued here. This is going to be a fun one. Justin, what's your pick?
I'm going to go Kansas 2-1. Starting off conference at home is good for UCF, but I think Kansas is streaking. I think UCF's maybe not streaking right now. So first start off conference, I think Kansas wins the series in Orlando.
You're going to think I'm copying you. I have the same exact answer. Again, I think Kansas is just on the up. And I don't know. I think it'll definitely be close, but 2-1 for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I think this is another close series. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone sweeps anyone. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take UCF. I'm going to take the home team again. I think this is a home team wins the series. Because I think if this was at Kansas, I would pick Kansas being in Orlando. I think UCF is going to be happy to be home. It's going to be an exciting weekend for them as well. First Big 12 series for them. I like Kansas. I think UCF has an opportunity to bounce back here. I will take UCF 2-1. I don't love it, but I'm going to see out the gate if I can get myself an advantage over the rest of people I'll be picking against. All right, the last one we're going to pick is the obvious one. It's the one between two ranked opponents, Baylor hosting Oklahoma State in Waco. Whoo, this one's going to be fun. By the way, all these games, every game this weekend of every series will be available on ESPN Plus. Big 12 now. So if you are not subscribed, this is one of the reasons I am subscribed, because of stuff like this. All right. Baylor hosting OSU. This one's a big one. This one's everyone in the country's going to be talking about this one. You get a ranked matchup at this point in the season. Justin, what's it going
to
be?
This is where I'm taking the home team. I'm going to go Baylor 2-1 over Oklahoma State. And I think that game over Wichita State on Wednesday night, I mean, we kind of saw some hit and miss from Oklahoma State, quite literally, actually. But I think Baylor home team, I think Baylor takes the series.
I'm going to change it up. I'm thinking OSU is going to take the series. Again, it's going to be some close games. I wouldn't be surprised if a game went into extras. But I don't know. OSU is like a different beast in conference. So yeah, I'm going to go OSU.
I'm never going to let a game against Wichita State affect my judgment on how Oklahoma State's going to play and other stuff. I almost wonder if that close game against Wichita State's a little bit of an opportunity for them. I mean, they made some defensive mistakes to let Wichita State take a lead there, a couple of errors. I'm taking OSU. OSU has done really well in this series, despite how good Baylor has been. I'll take 2-1. I'll take 2-1. I don't want to be the homer who's like, no, OSU goes 3-0. Like, I do think these two are going to be battling for third place in the Big 12, and I think it's kind of interesting to have them face off this early on. So I will also take Oklahoma State on the road to win this series 2-1. You guys have been awesome. Everyone, stick around, because Leah has a fantastic interview with Baylor head coach Glenn Moore. Perfect timing for this massive series to have him on the show. It's almost like I planned it. I didn't. It was an accident. I tried to get him last week, and it didn't work. Justin, you have been an absolutely fantastic guest. If we didn't love Eric so much, we would consider just having you replace him. He won't hear that. Do me a favor. You do great work covering college softball across the country. Where can everybody check it all out?
Well, I appreciate that very much. This has been a lot of fun. Everything I write, all of our coverage of D1 softball is at d1softball.com and D1 softball and all the appropriate socials.
Very good. All right. Glenn Moore coming up next. We will be back We'll be back as a show on Monday because we got a lot of basketball to talk and a variety of other topics that I need to finally get to, like West Virginia, playoff, which I don't really want to talk about. Obviously, basketball, we've got a lot going on in Kansas City. And of course, we'll be back next Thursday with Eric and someone else. Leah won't be here. We'll have another surprise guest. And I don't name guests or discuss things early because every time I do, they don't happen. So Glenmore is happening. That one's in the can. Enjoy that. We'll talk to y'all again on Monday.
Okay. So we have a very, very special guest today. He was the 2023 Big 12 co-coach of the year. He's my second favorite 12 coach. And he is the head coach of the Baylor Bears, Coach Glenmore. Coach Moore, thanks for coming on to the show today.
It's so great to see you in this venue and not the other venues that we've been in lately. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We have kind of a love-hate relationship for people that are confused, don't know what we're talking about. Coach, I'm trying not to say Mr. Glenn because that's what I called you for the last 4 years of my life, but
among Coach other things that we can't mention here either. So
yeah, we should probably keep that off the recording. But Coach Moore and I, we would chirp back and forth. Iowa State always enjoyed playing Baylor. It was such a fun game. Some chirping, like I said, but let's kind of jump into it. I know you're super busy. You have a couple games this week and Big 12 starting off this weekend, but let's kind of start off with how your guys' season started. So kind of started off with a couple losses. Granted, they were to some amazing teams. You had two losses to Tennessee, a loss to Louisiana, but now you guys are on a 10-game winning streak. You have wins against Louisiana, Oregon, UCLA, Missouri. The list can go on. What do you think switched or what changed in your guys' in your players' head to play the Baylor softball that we know?
You know, I don't know that anything really changed, Leah. We had our first game with Tennessee. We were one out away from having opening up with a win against the number two team in the country. And I thought we knew we played well enough to win that. We gave up a two-run home run with two outs after making an error and letting the tying run get on base, winning run come to the plate. And we lost that one. And, you know, I think the maturity of our team being a team that's got I think we have six seniors right now. That can hurt you quite a bit if you're a young team. Being a mature team, I think we handled that very maturely and kind of gained some confidence from that. We didn't play well the second game, but you know, we knew right away that Riley Crandall could play with anybody. She's really good. She beat Tennessee last year at their place. She had two wins against Texas. Just a little inconsistent last year, but we knew she could be pretty good. So I think we just felt like we belonged in that game and gained some confidence from it.
Big 12 softball right around the corner. And you have a veteran squad. How do you get prepared, or how do you get those younger girls prepared for Big 12 softball? It's a beast in itself.
Yeah, it is. And we open up with Oklahoma State this coming weekend. You know, I think it sounds like coaches speak, but you take it one game at a time and you realize that this Big 12 schedule is daunting. We were the number one RPI conference in the country last year. We're headed to that same direction this year. I think some of the polls have three Big 12 teams in the top five. Most of them do, I think. And we open up with one of those in Oklahoma State. So we're pretty good. Leah, I think we can get a lot better. We've experienced a little bit of adversity lately. We lost our shortstop in the first game out in Palm Springs, Amber Tovin. And, you know, we're having to – anytime you lose a key person in your lineup like that, it takes a little while to recover from that and get back in sync. And I think we saw that a little bit this past weekend. But it's a long season. And there's going to be, you know, a lot of teams with losses in this Big 12 season this year. And we've just got to make sure we go out each and every day and try to get better and be there in the end.
Yeah. Speaking of RPI, when you guys are sitting down trying to figure out your schedule for next season, you know, does RPI does that really make an impact? Are you preparing your girls? You know, we want to have a tough season or preseason to get them ready for Big 12. You want to get high on the RP rankings, and, you know, thinking about regionals, or just a little bit of both? Does RPI really make an impact?
You know, it's funny you asked that question, because that was a large part of our conversation as a staff today, and with Katie Gilmore, our sports information director, discussing, you know, some of the areas in RPI strength of schedule that we really just doesn't make sense. So obviously we try to schedule stronger because of that. You want to have my objective has always been to give our team an opportunity to have the easiest road possible in postseason. Obviously, you have to get there, so you have to schedule in a way that your team can get enough wins to get to postseason. But if you have a team that's strong enough to do some damage, the years that we've been to the World Series, we've been able to pave that road in such a way that we would, you know, play good ball, we could get back to Oklahoma City. So judging 2 years in advance, a year in advance, when you're doing the scheduling, you want to somehow match the strength of your team with that schedule. And this year, you know, we certainly I may have overscheduled a little bit, but we've competed well. And then you look, and I think we're right now at 26 in the RPI, and you yep. think some polls had us as the toughest February schedule in the country. How could we be as low as 26? That's not a bad RPI, but then you look at some that are in the top five, and they're, you know, from the strength of schedule that they have, it's just hard to understand RPI at times. So I'm just going to be transparent and say that it doesn't make sense to me many times. So my objective is typically to schedule as the most difficult schedule I can, given the talent I have returning.
Yeah, I was just kind of shocked with RPI when it came out today. Like I said, I follow you guys really closely this year. You're one of my favorite teams to watch. And I was just, based off the teams that you guys are playing, winning against, I don't know, it just seems like 26 is low. But like you said, 26 isn't even that low. There's teams way lower, but RPI is just crazy. It's hard to understand sometimes, but.
You know, Leah, if I can, I think yeah. you can really this year, as much as any year, you may have a top 10, but then the next 30 teams could all be at 11, 12. Or I mean, there's so much talent right now. When we were in Palm Springs, just watching the teams walk into the tournament, like, is this softball or is this football? I mean, there's so many great athletes playing this sport. So it's just really hard to see which teams. Yeah, there's some that are at the top and deservingly so. But after that, there's about 30 or 40 teams that could really be in the top 25.
It's crazy. I think one of my favorite things to do is look at rankings every week, because it's just crazy to see how teams are doing. And like you said, it could change in an instant. You know, you never know who's going to come in, who's going to win, who's going to play well, when you're going to catch someone off on their off day. And that's just what I'm loving about softball right now. I think it's on the up and come up. People are paying attention. It's because it's evening out. There's amazing teams across the board, and it's just really fun to watch.
I agree totally. It's the best softball's ever been right now, and you know, you're still on top of that. Oklahoma has been on top for so long, and how hard that is to do. Hats off to them and to Patty and what they've done there. But the teams that fall after them are very, very good teams as well. It's just a fun day for softball across the board. Travel ball, high school, the sport's growing like crazy, and takes great athleticism to play what I don't think the average fan recognizes as being as difficult as it is. So it's a great game.
It really is. Back to some Big 12. Obviously, there's some expansion going on. It's a different group, a different conference. How are you feeling as a coach? You know, you're so used to the same teams year after year, and now you've got Houston, UCF, BYU, list goes on. How are you preparing, or how are you feeling about this new Big 12 conference?
Very excited about it. Obviously, we're losing two powers to the SEC, and they'll continue to be great. The SEC is a great conference, of course, and that'll add to their strength. But the teams that we're bringing in, I mean, look at the national championships you're bringing in with Arizona and Arizona State, and the team that has been playing played the best last year was Utah out of those three, you know, and Houston has been down a little bit, but they're in a huge market. They're not going to stay down long. Great recruiting taking place there with a ton of talent around there. UCF, they're really strong this year, probably underrated right now. BYU is always good. They run into the Arizona State regional every year, so it's kept them from advancing most of the time when Arizona State's been extremely good. So I think this conference is going to be wide open. It's going to have a lot more parity. Anybody can win it, and it's going to be a fun conference.
Very, very fun. What team are you looking most forward to play this year and then the years on when all the new teams are back in the Big 12?
Oh, that's a trap question. Somebody's going to get some bulletin board material if I say anybody. You know, I love good competition this year. You know, last two years we played Oklahoma outside of conference just because I just like to play the best and compete against the best and put our team in front of the best teams. Iowa State has been pretty tough on the last couple of years, as you might have noticed. So I'm looking forward to having an opportunity of redemption, but I don't want to say too much there and give them a bulletin board. They don't need it. So I'll just stick with the coaches speak. I'm going to take them one game at a time.
Oh, I was hoping to get a good answer out of you, but let's go back to, you have some midweek games coming up. I want to know about the decision to add the game against Penn State on Wednesday. What kind of went through that thought process?
Yeah. So I had trouble scheduling this year, mainly tournaments. Our tournaments fell through at the last minute when I couldn't get other teams in our tournaments. And don't know the exact reason. I just know a lot of schools had the same problems. A lot of more teams are trying to host their own tournaments. So when this one fell through, I only had three this past weekend, three games with Morgan State. We originally had South Carolina, Texas State, Abilene Christian, Houston Christian. Had a lot of teams in it. And then last minute, before I could get too late for me to get other teams in it, several of them bailed out on us. So we were down a few games. And we're on spring break, so I thought, hey, this is a good opportunity to play a team that's playing really well and hopefully tune us up for the weekend with Oklahoma State.
Do you find that this year is the hardest year to kind of schedule games? It seems like everything's getting canceled. Games are getting rained out, but I don't know. Is it different this year?
Yeah, I had trouble scheduling tournaments for sure. We still have a good many home games scheduled, but tournaments, it was hard to get teams to commit. My biggest problem was not getting them to commit originally, but getting them to stay with that commitment, because they'll commit tentatively and then they'll say, let me see who else is going to be there. Well, there's some teams that don't want a strong schedule. And I don't know if you've paid any attention to the KPI stuff, but there's some formula saying that scheduling weak are either scheduling strong but don't stay anywhere in the middle. So I think that's scaring some away. If you schedule weak, you need to win your games. If you schedule strong, you know, obviously you can't lose too many. You got to finish above 500. So there's two different philosophies there, and I think we're falling in a trap there with some of those teams that don't want us. They're watching the tournament pan out, who's going to be in it, and making decisions later on. And then when some bail out, others decide that that doesn't meet their criteria, and you end up losing two or three teams. So that's what happened to us this year. I can't speak for everyone, but I think that's what happened with us.
Yeah, and then it's just making your life harder, and you got to figure out what to do. You're just making Mr. Glenn's life worse.
Yeah, I can tell the sympathy there.
No, truly. It's like, again, when I was introducing you as my second favorite Big 12 coach, I really meant it. You know, I could never put you above Coach Pink. I would never hear the end of it. He listens to every one of these podcasts. I kind of threw him under the bus one of the first episodes, and then he talked about it at practice with all the girls, and I got a bunch of text messages. So.
Well, he's one of my favorite coaches. He knows that, so that's nothing new. I'm not sucking up to him. He is a great guy. And I will say this. We had a lot of fun. In my coaching career, I've had no other relationship with another player on the other side like we had with you. So, but you gave me a hard time the entire time. I just want you to know that. But it was fun.
That means a lot. And it's funny because I texted some of my teammates and I said, you'll never guess who I'm interviewing. And they're like, there's no way it's Mr. Glenn. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I was like, do you want me to ask him anything? And they were like, first, they wanted to know if you were going to wear your green sweatsuit or tracksuit that you always wore. And second,
go ahead. No, that's Coach Newman's fault. She tells me what to wear, just like my wife tells me what to wear apart from softball. So I need important women in my life to tell me what to wear. So good question.
They wanted to know how you truly felt about our chirping. And, you know, I think it was fun. You were always very kind, but they wanted to know if it ever got annoying, or what was your thought, coach's perspective of us chatting with you when you were in the coach's box.
No, I think you guys know I had fun with it. And I'll tell you this, though, our girls were at times like, you're getting too friendly with that team over there in the other dugout. And there were times when I wanted Coach Pink to send you to on an errand or do something different because you were pretty good at your comebacks. And I was trying to keep my focus on the game. But again, that's what sports should really be about. You know, we're getting out there competing against each other, but we should never lose the joy of relationships. And I hate to say this to your face, but when I walked off the field that last day and you guys were doing a senior day, I'll admit I have a little tear in my eye. So it was a pretty, I waved at you. You remember?
You did. Yes. Yes. So, I think that was why you were one of our favorite coaches, just because we could tell that it wasn't just like a job to you. You see your girls as daughters. You've said that in plenty of articles and reports, but softball was not just a job. You loved everyone. You brought joy. You had fun with it. You know, it wasn't the serious thing all the time. And so it was fun to be able to play a team that felt that same way. You always gave us a hard time back. And I still talk about this to that day. Like, I love telling people, yeah, on my senior night, I literally had the opposing coach stay and wave. And it meant the world, just because it was such a fun camaraderie that we had the last 3 years. And I'm really looking forward really, really looking forward to seeing what Iowa State does against you guys this year, and if they keep the legacy of chirping going on. But we'll see.
Well, I was going to ask you, have you passed that along? Passed the torch to anyone else? And if so, who? I want to do some research and get some information on them, so I'll be prepared.
Yeah. Guns will be ready. Well, I mean, Camille, she's a catcher. She always goes hard. And then Abby Gunter, she's going to give you a hard time. It's funny you said that, because someone literally just tweeted at me that they were watching or listening to the Iowa State softball game, and they could hear from their TV or stream the bench chirping at the other team. And they said, at Leah must be so proud.
Oh, wow. Well, you said it was Camille and who was the other one?
Abby, Camille and Abby.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You tell them I'll be ready for them. So bring it on.
Oh my. I will. Just one last question to kind of finish this episode off. I know, again, you're so busy, but kind of talking about players, what player do you really hope just has a breakout Big 12 conference season? Who's putting in the work behind closed doors, and who are you just really hoping does really well?
Man, I just think Riley Crandall, our pitcher, is just ready to make a name for herself. So obviously our game starts in the circle, and Riley is really special. You know, we have a lot of talent. Team works really well together. It's great chemistry. You know, I could name three or four that are, you know, really due for all the accolades that you get from playing this great sport. I would just say, you know, Sidney Colazas too, a catcher that's, you know, a senior that's really put in the time and dealt with some adversity and worked through it. But I guess Riley Crandall is the one I think is really ready to have a breakout season and be that next pitcher that we've had that can be the face of Baylor.
Yeah. Well, Coach Moore, thank you so much for taking some time out of your night to talk to me. It's just always a blast to see how you guys are doing. I'm really rooting for Baylor softball. You guys are incredible. Always fun to play against you guys. I can't wait to watch the game against Iowa State. Rooting for Iowa State as always, but really excited for you guys. Thanks again.
So tell some of your teammates to bring some Hickory Park down to Waco when they come this year. That's my favorite restaurant in the Big 12 tour. And I hate that I have to miss it every other year, but anyway, they can bring me some.
I'll send them a text right after this. And I wouldn't be surprised if you got a surprise that weekend.
Thank you, Leah. This is awesome interview. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your week. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.